You know, if you've been here very often, most every Sunday, I didn't say it today because I knew I was going to say it now. What do I say? Welcome to City Lights Church. We're about three things, right? I always say we're about three things as a church. Loving God, loving each other, serve our city, serving our city. Those are the three things as a church that we rally around, that get us excited, that unify us as a family, and those, that's just kind of what we're about. That's directionally, that kind of, that sums up our direction as a church, about loving God, loving each other, and serving our city. And so with we're starting a new year here, right? I guess it's February, but we're still pretty close to start. We thought we'd take 3 weeks out of the schedule and spend 3 weeks talking about that. If we're saying we're really about that, loving God, loving each other, and serving our city, we should take a little bit of time to talk about that, to make sure we're on the same page of what that means and what that looks like. So for 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about those things. And we're going to be breaking it up each week. We'll be talking about one of those elements. So today, we're talking about loving God. Loving God is one of the major things we want to be about here at City Lights Church. And I'll even argue that's probably the major thing. That's where all this starts from. So today we're talking about loving God. So if you got your Bibles, open them up. Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 34. Matthew 22, 34. It's a very familiar passage, but it's familiar because it's important, right? If you haven't heard it till today, then holy cow, it's such a good passage. We're going to look at it today together. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. And I'm turning there as well. If you don't have a Bible, there should be Bibles in the pews. You can pull out one of those and find it in there. Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. I hear a little bit more turning. We're almost there at that. Okay, Matthew 22, 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay. So I don't know if you caught what just happened there. The Pharisees, they're kind of anti-Jesus, right? They're the religious leaders of the day. This new guy shows up, Jesus. He's saying all these controversial things about how he is God. He's teaching all these things about God. And they don't like it because he's kind of up, you know, rocking the apple cart a little bit, right? And they're on top. And he's saying some things that is kind of challenging their authority. And so they're going to put this guy, Jesus, in his place. The Pharisees, they are experts in the law. They dedicate their lives to studying the law, about knowing there's hundreds of laws, right, all through the Old Testament. And so they know these laws. They've studied them. They researched them. They've classified them. They qualified them. They're experts in the law. And so they're going to come and put this guy, Jesus, in his place by asking him almost an impossible question, which is the greatest, because there's so many of them, right? And so this is like if Stephen Hawking came and asked you a science question, or if Bill Gates came and asked you a computer question, all right? So these guys, these are experts. Now, these guys know what they're talking about, so they come and ask Jesus. They ask him, all right, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gives them an answer. He doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't hem and haw. He doesn't qualify it in any way. He says, you don't know what the greatest is? Here's the greatest. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's it. That's the greatest commandment. And so he answered them clearly in that. This is such a familiar passage because it's so clear and so straightforward. What's the most important thing? How can we sum up all the law, all the Old Testament? What is this all about? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's it. That's the greatest commandment. Something that we refer to as the greatest commandment. That's how this passage is referred to. And so most of us, we hear this, and it doesn't cause much of a stir in us when we hear. What's the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, heart, soul, and mind. Okay, we hear that. Okay, love God. That's important. And we hear that. It doesn't cause much of a stir, because if I took a poll in this room, do you love God? I bet everybody put their hand in the air and say, yes, I love God. Right? If I walked up and down these streets and I asked people, do you love God? I bet everybody would say, yeah, you bet I love God. Right? And I think most everybody feels like they love God. Most anyways, right? There's going to be some that are very anti-God, or a few maybe, you may think, oh, we can't really know if God exists, all those sort of things. But I think most people will say, yes, I love God. And so when we hear this, it's easy to hear Jesus' words and to think, okay, I got this covered. How is Tom going to talk 30 minutes on this? I mean, really, love God, we got it. I got that, right? I love God, I got it. We love God. We love our families. We love our kids. We love a sunny Sunday afternoon. We love the color blue. We love chocolate. We love a good episode of Chopped on Food Channel, you know, Food Network. We most assuredly love God, right? We love all these things. Well, I want to kind of refocus what he said here a little bit. Okay, I want to refocus this. We hear his words and so often focus on we need to love God and think that's what he's asking. The question posed here is not necessarily, do you love God? Because we'd all say yes. The question I want to pose you today is, how do you love God? Not just do you love God, but in what way do you love God? How do you love God? Because when God asked this question, he didn't say, what's the most important, love God. He says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, everything that you are, your heart, your desires, your emotion, loving God with that, with your soul, your identity, the thing that makes you you. Do you love God with all that? Right, with your mind, your intellect, your thinking, your thoughts. Do you love God with all of that? He says, that's how I want you to love me. What's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God. Okay, fine. No, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And that's our central truth today. This is our main point that we're going to be talking about today. And there's a fill in the blanks if you'd like to do that in the bulletin. Our central truth is this. We are to love God with an undivided love. Okay? We're to love God with an undivided love. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Not just that we love God, because we'd all say, yes, I love God. But no, we're to love God with an undivided love. And I believe a lot of us, I think most of us get this wrong, and that's the source of our struggle in the Christian life. This makes things so hard, and I'm going to unpack that a little bit today throughout the message. But I think we get this wrong, and it's a source of a lot of problems we have. And that's why it's one of the main things at City Light Church. We want to love God in this way, all right? Not just that we love God, but we want to love God with an undivided love. And so we get this wrong a lot, I believe. And so in an effort to get this right, identify some things to consider when talking about loving God with an undivided love. Some things to consider. We're going to unpack this a little bit. First thing to consider as we're to love God with an undivided love, the biggest competition is our selfish nature. Our biggest competition is our selfish nature. We love ourselves. We love ourselves, right? We put ourselves first. We have our own interests and desires and things we want to see out of our lives, our enjoyment, right? And we love ourselves in that we're looking out for ourselves. And I think most of us, me included, we take this view, this love of ourselves, and we bring it with us into our Christian faith. We take this love of ourselves, our you know, the looking out for ourselves, wanting the best for ourselves, and we bring that into our Christian faith. We bring it to God. And I think it looks like this, that we kind of use we begin with our old self, right? About all the things, all our desires, all our interests, all our hopes and dreams, what we want to see for our lives. And we use that as a starting point. That's me. I got old Tom. Old Tom wants to see these certain things in my life to come about. Old Tom's interested in these things. I want these things to happen in my life. And I have these goals and plans for my life and aspirations for my life. And so I've got, we use that as kind of a starting point. And then along the way, God starts putting demands on our life, right? He starts putting demands on our life, some things that we'll just call them, morality, things that we're supposed to do in our lives. And he starts putting these demands on our life, and those demands sometimes are in conflict with what selfish Tom wants, right? Sometimes they get in the way of me loving Tom, right? They get in the way of that. They put demands on me that make it tough, that they're in conflict with me loving myself, right? That because I want what's best for me, and I have my desires and interests and whatnot. And so we define being good in life, often in the Christian faith, we define being good is when we forego what we want and we do that other thing. That thing that we appease that demand that God puts on us in our life. For instance, if it means getting up early to be here for a 9 o'clock service, sometimes that's a demand that doesn't necessarily go well with what old natural Tom wants, right? And but being good means, even though I don't want to, I'm going to get up and do that thing, right? And so being good is when we meet the demands that God puts in our lives. Either there's some things that God, that I want to do that God has labeled that we're not supposed to do, right? And so we'll call it sin or things that we know are unhealthy. And so when I don't do those things that I really wanted to do, or I do go ahead and do the things that I don't want to do but God wants me to do, we call that good behavior. But we still use as a starting point what I want and my selfish desires, right? That's kind of our starting point. And we hope, the hope through all this, is that after I've done the things God wants me to do, I don't do the things that he doesn't want me to do, that after I've done all that, then hopefully poor old natural Tom will get something he wants out of this deal, yeah. Right? That there'll be something left over for me at the end of this. I'll do that, I won't do that, but gosh, I sure hope that I get what I want out of this because I'm still after what I want. We use as a base a love for ourselves. That is still our number one goal. It's kind of like paying taxes. You know, it's January, it's time to start thinking of tax time. If you got to file taxes, it's like an honest man paying taxes. Does an honest man pay his taxes? You bet he does. He pays every tax that's due, but he sure hopes at the end, after he pays all the taxes, there'll be some money left over for him, right? And that's kind of how we view our relationship with God, that after I do the things that God wants me to do, and after I don't do the things that God doesn't want me to do, even though those are in conflict with what I really want, I hope that after I do all that, that there'll be something left over for me. That internal selfish me will get what I want. And we use that, this kind of love of self as our starting point, as our basis. And it's like living with a divided love, right? That while it's not just about loving God, it's also about loving self, getting what I want, loving myself, loving God. It's kind of like loving it's a divided love. They're going two different directions. And there's a consequence. There's a consequence to life when we live this way. Yeah. If we live this way, trying to love and please God while also trying to love and please self, there's a consequence. One of two things is going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. If we try to do both, one of two things is going to happen. Either one, we're going to give up trying to live for God because it's too much. It's too hard, right? It's just like too much work. We're either going to give up that or we're going to be very unhappy, right? We're going to be miserable. Yeah. Either we're gonna give up doing all the things that God wants us to do, or we're gonna just be miserable and unhappy. Because as we try to do the things that God wants us to do, and while we're trying to hold on to our own selfish, loving self and doing that, as we're trying to love God in that way, doing the things He wants us to do, there is not going to be enough left over for ourselves. There's not going to be enough left over. Those demands on our life that God puts, there's not going to be enough for you to maintain that love of self, all right? That as you listen to the Holy Spirit's working in your life, He's going to put demands on your life, and as you listen to those demands and follow those demands, I got a little secret for you. As you do that thing, he's going to put more demands on your life. That's how it works. When the Holy Spirit's working on your life and asking you to make these changes and do these things, it's not like, okay, I'll do this one thing, and then finally I go back and do it. No, he puts more and more demands on your life. And as the Holy Spirit's put more and more demands on your life, your old inner self, old Tom, gets angrier and angrier and angrier, right? When we try to appease both, when we're trying to live for both with this divided love. And in the end, you're either going to give up trying to follow God because it's just too much work, or you're going to learn to fake it and be absolutely miserable, right? If you're trying to maintain both, that's what's going to happen. You're going to learn on Sunday to put on your Sunday face and speak Christianese, but you're going to be miserable, right? Because, you know, because you're still trying to maintain our own selfish desire, that love of self. That's why Jesus never talks about it that way. about loving him and loving ourselves, maintaining that. That's why Jesus says, I want all of it. I don't want part of it. I want all of it. He says, that's why it's important to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not just, not trying to divide it, right? I want to hold on to love me. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. He says, I'm not interested in just having a portion of your time. You know, that, okay, God, you can have Sundays from 9 to noon. That's your time, you know. But the rest is mine. He's not interested in a portion of your time. He's not interested in a portion of your money, all right? As far as he's concerned, it's all his. You say, oh, I give 10%. Well, good. But that doesn't mean the other 90% is just yours to do whatever. It's all God's. Of course, we use it to live on. But it all belongs to God. God's not interested in just a portion of your talents, a portion of your skills, a portion of your all that. He's not interested in that. He wants all of you. He wants you, the whole thing. Here's a newsflash. Jesus did not come to torment the natural self, the old you. It feels that way, right? That Jesus like torments the old you. He makes you do all these things you don't want to do. And he didn't come to torment and to torture your old inner self. He didn't come to torment or torture you in that way, to torture yourself. He came to kill it. He came to end it. To stomp it out, the old selfish desires. He came to wipe it clean and to give you a fresh new you. He came to just take that old selfishness, the looking out for self, and he's not trying to work with that. He's trying to get rid of it, right? Kill it off dead. In Luke 14:25, it says this. There's all these people following Jesus because he's just been feeding people, doing miracles, and people in their selfish nature said, hey, there could be something in it for me. It's like, you know, you go to, right? Don't at Ellen, they give out free stuff, right? Or you go to Oprah, you get free stuff. I'm going to go to Oprah because she's giving out free stuff. People are like, I want to go see Jesus because he's giving out free stuff, right? And so all these people are following him around, trying to get something for themselves. And listen to what he tells this large crowd. This is in Luke 14, starting verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. He says, I'm not interested in your divided love. Don't come to me hoping to get something out of it for you. He said, I'm not interested in that. He says, I don't want the divided love. I want all of you. It's not like me along with everything else. It's me and then everything else. And don't get me wrong, he's not saying that we're not supposed to love, right? Because we know all through the Bible God tells us to love. But I think what he's saying is it's him first. We love God. It's all about loving God. And then everything else comes from that, right? It's a result of that. But he said it's got to be about loving self. He said, no, that's not how it works. No divided love, no half measures or any good here. It doesn't work that way. He says, hand over your whole natural self. Of your old Tom, I want all of old Tom. With all his desires and interests. I want all old Tom. With those nasty, wicked desires, I need those, but also need the good ones. The ones that maybe there's no problem with, but he says, I want those too. I want all of it. I want the old self. You give me all old you, and in return, I give you a new you. I give you a new you. And that's hard, right? That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to hand over old self, right? To let go of that love of self and wanting all those things for ourselves and trying to maintain that. It's hard to let go of that. But here, this is our second thing to keep in mind. As hard as it is to let that go, second thing is this. The easy way is hardest. The easy way is hardest. When we continually choose the easy way in life, take the easy option, I guarantee you're going to end up with the hardest life. If you keep taking if you have two choices and you always take the easy one, at the end of the day, you're going to look back and say, man, my life was hard. You're going to end up hardest. It's going to end up being the more difficult path. Here's an example. My first year in college, I got good grades in high school. Didn't have to work too hard at high school, whatever, but I did what I needed to do, got good grades. I went to college. And doggone it, you go to college and you're a grown-up now, you're an adult, and since you're paying to be there, professors, they didn't take attendance in my school. said, you paying to be here? You want to learn? Come here and learn. I don't care. Yeah, I'm going to present it. You do what you want. They didn't take attendance. They assigned homework. They didn't collect homework. They assigned it and said, if you want to do it, this is going to help you learn. But we don't collect it. You do what you want. What matters is there's a midterm and a final, and that's your grade. So immature Tom takes the easy way. Wait, I don't got to turn this in? Click, you know, bloop, 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 video games. Right? I took the easy way. Why would I do homework? They're not going to collect it. Homework's hard. I'm going to take the easy way and not do homework. I'm going to take the easy way and not go to class when I'm tired. Right? Because it's hard to go to class when you're tired. So I thought I was taking the easy way until it came time for a test. And then I opened the book and I was like, I don't know any of this stuff. And I had to bust my tail. I had to work and work and work and work to try to learn this stuff. That if I just would have taken those little steps all along the way, if I would have done the harder thing early on, it would have been so much easier. I would have already just known it. And I would show up and I'd put down what I knew. But because I chose the easy way, it was way harder for me in the long run, right? And I think that happens with life. And it happens in this situation. It's hard to say, it's hard to die to self. It's hard to hand over our own love of self, our selfish desires. It's hard to hand over that. It's hard to love God with an undivided love. And the easy thing to do is just keep on keeping on, trying to get what I want, looking out for me, and just doing that. That's the easy way. But the result, when we keep taking that easy way of just continuing to live for our own selfish desires, the result is it's hard. Every day we have this wrestle, this struggle, right? God's asked me to do this one thing, but I want to do this other thing. Do I fake it? Do I grit my teeth and do it? Or, you know, and it's just this wrestle. It's a struggle. Following God is a struggle because we don't love God with an undivided love. We're still loving ourselves because it feels easier, but yet the result is this daily struggle, the spiritual disciplines. You know, I got to just grit my teeth and do these things because I'm still trying to maintain this love of self. Matthew 16:25 says this, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to find it, whoever loses his life for me will find it. The key to experiencing the freedom in the Christian life, the key to experiencing the good life and the easy life and the way that we see God talking about the abundant Christian life is doing the hard thing of releasing your life. If you can do that hard thing, then the rest is easy, right? The key is being able to do that hard thing of dying to self, loving God with an undivided love. And then that's the key to the experience, and the result is easier. It's a harder thing, but the result is easier. That's the reason Jesus, from the mouth of Jesus, who we know does not lie, says, follow me, take up your cross. Hard. And he also says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Aren't those things contradictory? Yeah, but not really. Because he said, follow me. If you could take up your cross and suffer, you know, and be willing to give up yourself and die to self and do that hard, hard, difficult thing, the result, hey, my burden is easy. My yoke's light. I do all the pulling. Come along. But we never experience the light and easy because we're unwilling to get up and do the hard stuff, right? Do the hard thing, which leads to our third thing. Getting this right may be hard, but it makes everything else easier. Getting this right may be hard. Loving God with an undivided love is hard, but it makes everything else easier. Because our undivided love for God serves as our motivation for everything else. If we can do this one thing right, then everything else just kind of flows from that. That's why Jesus said it's so important. He says, this sums up the law, sums up all of it. What's the most important commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because he knew if you get that part right, the rest of it's just easy. It just flows from that. Because love's a powerful motivator. You'll do things for love, right? Sounds like a song or something. Is there a song like that? If you doubt how powerful a motivator love is, you need to have a baby. If you have a baby, you're going to learn what you'll do for love, right? Poopy diapers. I'd put up with the poopy diapers if I get a good night's sleep. right? But they get up at all hours of the night, right? And you got to, and not just once, but every night. And it builds on you, right? It wears you down. But you continue to get up and go down there and change that diaper and feed the baby and pat its back because you love that baby, right? And there's nothing in it for you. That baby doesn't say, oh, I appreciate you, Dad. You're so good. Thanks for doing this. I know it's hard. He doesn't say that. He just cries more, right? There's nothing in it for you, but you'll do it because you love it, right? You love that child. Love is the most powerful motivator, right? It's just love is the most powerful motivator. Way better motivator than just sheer willpower. I'm going to grip my teeth and I'm going to do this thing. God asked me to do this, but I'm going to grip my teeth and I'm going to do it. We know that doesn't work, right, in the long run. Way more powerful motivator than guilt. I know I'm supposed to do this and I didn't do it and I feel bad. Next time I'm going to do it. You know, we know that only works a little bit, that it's not a way you can live your life. All that stuff falls short. The love of God, loving God with an undivided love, is the most powerful motivator for all the rest of it. And Jesus knew this. That's why he says in John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you obey what I command. It's as simple as that. You got an obedience problem? I would say you don't really even have an obedience problem. You got a love problem, right? If you're struggling with an area of your life and you keep thinking that thing, I keep doing that thing and I need to stop doing that thing, well, true, but what you really need to do is you need to love God. Because if you love God, if you love him, you obey his commands. We need to turn our attention off of that thing and turn it back on God and loving God. And the result is, if you love me, you obey what I command. Then again, later on, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He said, that's how I can know. It's pretty clear. So that leads us to the fourth thing. Final one. Fourth thing to consider about loving God with an undivided love. The key to loving God fully is knowing God fully. The key to loving God fully is knowing God fully. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. Yeah. 1 John 4:8. God is love. The more we know him, the more you get to know God, the more you're going to love him. Because he is love. And this is the reason why it's so important that we do the things in life that help us to know God better. That's why this is so important that we spend time in prayer. Because when you go to God and you really trust him for something, then he comes through and you get to learn about God. You get to see his faithfulness. You get to see his goodness. You get to see his power. That teaches you something about God, and you grow in your love for God, right? That's why it's so important that we read his word, that we study it, that when we're reading this word, we see what he's about. We learn about his character. We learn about the things that matter to him, and in turn, we're learning about God, and as we learn about God, we grow to love God. That's why it's important that you're in church every Sunday, that we gather together as a people of God, that we see him at work in each other's lives, that we encourage each other. And through that, we learn about God, right, from each other. And as we do that, as we learn about God, we grow in our love for him as we do these things. The more we do these things, the more we learn about God, and then the result is more we love God. And then here's the crazy part. You ready for the next step? So the more we do these things, the more we learn about God, the more we love God, and the more we love God, the more we want to do these things, right? As we grow in our love for God, we want to pray more. Then all of a sudden, it's not so much, oh, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm just, you know. You know, but instead, as we grow in love for him, we want to do these things more. Then as we do these things more, we grow in our knowledge of God, and we grow in our love for God, and then we want to do it more and more, and it turns into this cycle, right? But it starts with understanding. I believe firmly it starts with an understanding of how our selfish, natural self competes with God. The thing that gets away this whole process is when I'm trying to maintain what I want. Because what I want doesn't often jive with what God's asking me to do. Excuse me. We can't have it both ways. Trying to love God and please God while also trying to love myself and please myself, it doesn't work. You can't have it both ways. And it's important to, the first step in this whole process is identifying our own selfish nature. and that desire that we're still trying to hold on to, our old self, what we're trying to maintain in this whole process, and identifying that as hostile towards God, and then nailing that thing to the cross. It's hard. It's difficult. But as difficult as that is, it's not nearly as hard as the alternative. And the alternative is that daily struggle. I want to do this. God wants me to do that. Struggle, right? We got to do the effort, killing off the old self. I know, and I know that's a daily thing, right? It's not like you do it once and you're good. This starts every morning. You open your eyes, all your hopes and the desires of the day rush at you, right? Here's what I want to see for the day. And all your own selfishness just immediately rushes at you. And it's at that moment every morning when you open your eyes to push that stuff aside and listen to the other voice, right? Listen to the Spirit of God working in you. And it may, when you start doing this, it may just be for that few moments. It may even be done by the time your feet hit the ground, right? Getting out of bed. But as you continue to do this, you'll continue to grow in your love of God. It's hard. It's definitely hard. But we got to remember our final thing. This is our conclusion. We got to remember when we're wrestling with the idea of this, we got to remember God loved us first. God loved us first. As hard as it is to give up our own selfish desires, to die to self, remember, Christ did it for us. He got up on that cross. He proved his love for you and me when he got up on that cross. He proved that he's not going to leave you as orphans. So you may think, naturally, selfish Tom is going to say, hey, yo, Tom, if you do this, who's going to look out for you? I look out for you. Who's going to look out for you? If you tell me to shut up, who's going to look out for you? God promised. He made it clear he's going to look out for me. Right? He made it clear when he got up on that cross that he's committed to each one of us. He's committed to you. And you could trust him. It takes faith. Yes, it's hard. But he proved it by showing his love for us first. So today, we want to end with communion, remembering that supreme act of love shown for you when you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it. It's not like you were so lovable and this was just, God, I just want to give them a big hug and I can't wait to do it, so I'm going to get up on that cross. No, you were enemies of God. You're on the wrong side of this thing. But Jesus got on that cross for you. And so we're going to take communion in remembrance of that. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've entrusted him with your life, if you call him Lord of your life, if you've trusted him to forgive your sins, and you're living for him, doing your best in ways in that, I invite you to come forward while Terry leads us in a song. You can just come on forward. There's crackers up here representing his body broken for you. There's juice representing his blood shed for you. And you can come up and take and eat and drink in remembrance of Christ's supreme act of love for you. And you could do that in your own timing. We're not going to collect and gather and sit and wait and do it all together. So you just come and do it at your own timing and then and do it at your seat or up here, whichever you feel comfortable with. But with that, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your love shown for us. I thank you that somehow you deemed us redeemable. And we thank you for that huge sacrifice for us. And God, I pray that that would be so real to each one of us, your love for us, that would be so real and that we could live in response to that. That you would help us to love you fully. God, I'm amazed when I just think about what this church could be, what difference we can make in the street corner if we could just all focus on loving you fully, and that affected all areas of our life. So God, be with us as we take communion, that remembering this would move us in that direction so we can live with an undivided love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.